This is the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which is a sequel to the one we watched a couple weeks ago. Godzilla against Mechagodzilla.
Seemingly you were struggling to get the name, to remember the name.
Yeah, yeah.
The one before this.
Well, the last one was
right.
Kong Skull Island, but
yeah,
which was a great movie. Or I can't believe how awful that movie was. it's essentially the sequel. So we have Godzilla and we have Mechagodzilla already established, and once again we have it's the Mechagodzilla with the original Godzilla's bones in it.
Right.
So that's kind of where we left off. And yeah, they're currently in the process of fixing him and rebuilding him and making him better again until, getting ready for the next Godzilla attack. But this time around, we got Mothra in the mix.
Right.
Which
first of all, the bones, I came to the conclusion watching it this time that, really what it is Godzilla haunts Mechagodzilla.
It's like a possession.
He's attached to it in a sense, in his bones. And so it's like, it kind of feels more like a haunting where it's like, you go in there, it's like, oh, I feel this disturbing energy that he doesn't want to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely get that feeling by the end too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially when they're all about like, all right, we should have left him at peace.
Yeah. But then there's like one point where is the Godzilla bones able to display what's on the monitors
when he says goodbye?
yeah
well, it's like, yeah, well, I mean, so if you saw Poltergeist, you know that screens is a great method to make contact with the other side. Yeah, there's a lot there's stuff to talk about. First of all, at the very beginning, They show a sign that says Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. That's a real base. The Air Force Base here is Hickam. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's not necessarily Hickam in the movie.
Yeah.
But the name is correct.
Well, that's good.
And Mothra is super fast.
Yeah. Do they say like twice Mach speed or something? Do they say how fast Mothra is going? But it's...
I don't remember if they actually. I think they might. The fighter pilot, the guy in the jet who's flying and catches it. Yeah, he might actually say what speed she's going.
It's kind of a cool effect, though. I like where you just see the kind of clouds raising.
Yeah, and there's a moment you catch a glimpse, and you know it's Mothra, just because kind of catch a glimpse. But I was like, that's super fast, and you don't even see like the because. All right, I'm going to say just right now that Mothra is not my favorite kaiju. There's something I feel that's kind of clumsy about it and its execution, and it requires a lot of
suspension.
Yeah, that a moth is such a formidable opponent or monster. But okay, but moving on, fine. But yeah, super fast. Which is, yeah, because when he goes super fast, but then it's kind of clumsy in puppet form.
Yeah, I'm like a big fan of Mothra, but mostly because of the look.
Yeah, well, listen, the color scheme is really cool looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely some stuff. When you really put Mothra through its paces, I go, oof.
Yeah.
This comes up short for me.
Yeah. They try to do some like CG stuff in this one.
When she, they started to do just some regular animation stuff, it looks like. Some, like, cartooning. Like, when Mothra flies and she flaps like an eagle.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere. We're jumping all over, so I can't quite follow along. But, when they animated her, she flew more like a bird and not with the big, wide, flapping wings.
Uh-huh. Like the big, rigid, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a better puppet.
Oh, yeah.
Like they...
Yeah, it is, for sure. They did more stuff with their head, too, I think. Yeah. Okay, so... we'll get into that later. Okay, so at the beginning, the guy's working on the plane. It's hard not to like smirk when the kid says, "Have you ever touched a real one?"
Okay, the little model plane. Yeah. It's a weird question.
I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, I might have actually once at one point recorded that moment off the TV and posted it on my Instagram account. I'd have to go digging it up, but I'm pretty sure there's a one point when it was just a shot. I just had a shot of the kid saying, "Have you ever touched a real one?" and then when he goes into the other room. And the actor from the old Mothra movies, Hiroshi Koizumi, is hiding behind a book so obviously. It's like he's almost in like a comedy where he's spying on somebody. Because he's holding the book so high and so close to his face, and then he brings it down. It's kind of like, oh, that's the moment we're supposed to applaud. I was like, it was such a forced moment that I was like, all right, let me look this guy up. Because clearly we're supposed to know who this is.
Yeah, and then they do a flashback for those of us that don't know who he is.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
By the way, Hiroshi Koizumi died May of 2015.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, he was old in this movie. The moment of his I liked the most though was when the twins show up, so they had this whole new set of twins too. By the way, which I'm also wondering how the fairies work, as far as like, do fairies all come into sets of twins, or is the illusion that all fairies look the same, and they just happen to be two of them there?
I don't know. At one point, don't they say like the fairies have all gone or something? Are they talking about like a race of fairies or?
I don't know either.
But
it's two twins. I mean, are they supposed to be twins? They look a lot like each other.
They're definitely not twins, but I feel like in America, we've always referred to them as the Mothra twins.
Right.
But they're not.
Those are just a figurative twins?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were the original two twins?
I don't think so. I think the one we're discussing next week, Godzilla versus the Sea Monster, in 2 weeks, I guess. Those Mothra twins looked the most similar to each other than any of the other ones.
Oh, I think that's the movie where he flies like an eagle. Did I mess up our thing?
No, it's fine.
We can edit this part out. We can try and fix it.
I mean, I think people can know.
All right, the jig is up, people. We record two at a time.
And also, this is like December. I mean, when I talked about Skull Island, yeah, I think it's fine. People know. It's not a big deal. We record these in advance, and we record them two at a time. So if I sound a little sick this episode, I will probably sound the same in 2 weeks. Both in this movie and against Mechagodzilla, there seems to need to be an Iceman character, like from Top Gun.
Yes.
Like a jerk that doesn't like our main character. And then what cracked me up is in this one, Iceman guy, he like pretends like he's going to punch the hero in the face.
Yes.
And then he opens his hand and there's a fly there.
Yeah.
But he doesn't reach out. Like, his fist is already closed by the time he raises his fist.
Right.
So, was he just holding a fly this whole time?
I don't think we're supposed to think that.
Uh-huh.
But that is my plan now, to do that trick at parties when I meet someone who I don't quite like and just fake punch him and, like, go. Mm. And then save the fly, get in my pocket.
His hand definitely wasn't open.
No,
at any point.
It was not. Yeah, I was trying to figure out there could be a better palm some way. Maybe you can kind of just stick it. It's going to require practice and finding a fly. That's already pre-dead. I'm not going to kill a fly just for this purpose.
Yeah. I mean, just, but, you could use you know, a fake one.
You know, the fake ones are well,
pretty bad looking.
They're pretty big, and they don't have the their feet just lay out or you know they don't curl under the way a proper dead fly would have, and the wings are really really fake.
Yeah, the wings are like attached to each other, like they're weird. But you want a smaller fly to be more impressive. Like anyone could catch a bigger fly.
Right, right. Also, there was this thing when all the pilots walk by and Yoshi's like staring at him as they all go by. And that one woman pilot walks by and he's like staring at her. But it's this badass guy is the guy who looks back at him.
I don't remember.
You don't?
I don't remember that.
Speaking of which, by the way, there's no Big Brother cock block in this movie.
Oh. It's been the first one in a while.
And I was trying to force one. But the thing that is in it, though, is because in a way, Yoshi cock blocks himself.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a that woman, Azusa, is really... really being heavy-handed with him about, like, man, you don't even think of women. And she's sitting by him. It's like, man, lady, you're dropping some heavy hints, yeah. You know? It's like, you what you love is machines.
Giant turtle.
Okay, yeah. At first I go, oh, is that Gamera?
That's what I thought.
It's not.
And this is what you looked. You looked this up, right?
Yeah, so that's Kamibus.
Yeah.
Basically, Gamera's a different studio. So this is Toho's giant turtle, who doesn't appear in a lot. He's in this movie that's called Space Amoeba, which is also known as Yogg Monster from Space. Yogg: Monster from Space.
Okay, I think I've heard of Yogg.
That's yeah. Yogg. I don't know. Maybe that's not Yogg. No, I don't think that's Yogg. I think Yogg's a big squid, isn't he?
I don't know.
Well, because like that's the other cover on the box is a big squid who's got his face on his, like... on, like, where the squid's abdomen would be.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like... I have no idea what I'm talking about. I go. First thing I was going to be like, it's kind of like Signet and the Sea Monster, the way their face is.
Uh-huh.
Where that is.
Like Super Mario Brothers? Like the big bloopers?
Yeah, basically, that's where the eyes are. Yeah. But this guy's got a mouth there, too. And, but, yeah, I went looking, but... it's right that Yogg Monster from Space or Space Amoeba. Oh, so Space Amoeba and then some Kamiba. That's how basically his name happened. Yeah, those are that movie is tricky to find.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at a picture now, and it's got Yogg holding up this turtle guy, and then there's like a lobster man also fighting. Yeah, we're gonna need to find this.
Yeah, I mean yeah, but we got yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. So there's a attack on Shinagawa City, which is the same city from Shin Godzilla, right?
Oh no, I guess his eyes. Oh, sorry, I'm now looking up the Space Amoeba. I guess his eyes are in a pretty decent place. I guess I was all wrong about that.
But they're
front. I imagined a different monster.
Yeah, they're front facing as opposed to like on the sides.
Who am I thinking of? There's another monster from like old movies that is also a squid. I guess I've seen something else. But, yeah, but man, that guy looks a lot like Gamera.
Yeah, his face is a little bit different, but, like, the ragged shell and stuff looks...
same. Yeah, his face kind of comes to a point when you look at the actual, I think...
Kind of a weird character to put in, right?
I guess to put in just, a turtle?
Or just some character from a random movie.
Yeah, but I think, well, first of all, you're not supposed to root for Godzilla in this movie.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make him seem more dangerous than, you know, I will allow. Like, I root for Godzilla no matter what. So it's like, even when he's the bad guy, I still root. Because it's just so fun to see him destroy stuff. But the fact that he basically, he took like a chunk out of his neck and killed him was cool. Also, it's just kind of like, just the fact that seeing a dead monster... it's pretty rare. It's like I don't think they like to kill their monsters. I think you want monsters to just kind of run away and leave,
uh-huh.
or go to sleep or be buried. just because it's you want to have a deep bench of monsters to be able to just bring them back out again.
So I guess that's like a good reason to pull a random character that you're probably not going to bring back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I'm really impressed with how well these costumes do with all this water work they have to do.
Yeah, sometimes it looks a little, like, especially in the older movies, it looks a little rough.
Yeah.
Because the water looks like, you know, a drop of water looks like it's a 5-story drop of water, and it makes no sense. But in these movies, it works a little bit better.
Yeah, but just like that has to be putting that into the design, and it's like, okay, so then what's the sacrifice? If you have to make it waterproof because it's full of foam, that just means you have to make it even hotter when you're not hanging out in the water.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the trade-off. The name of the Mechagodzilla force, did you notice it like during the press conference?
No.
Was it the press conference or was it just like the meeting where they show the logo that's got like Mechagodzilla's head and the thing around it?
Yeah, and like it's got the red line. They're called
Counter Xenomorph Self-Defense Force Japan.
No, I did not notice that.
Xenomorph.
Yeah, the alien.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's the only other place I've ever seen Xenomorph.
That wasn't created for Alien, right?
No, but I think nowadays it's hard to Google Xenomorph without getting it associated to Alien.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just... Yeah, that's a good question.
Like Americans stop putting it in their movies because they would think of the alien from Aliens.
Oh, well...
But in Japan, maybe it doesn't... They just know the original.
Well, Xenomorph, apparently, is a geological term.
And then... Ridley Scott ruined that for everybody else.
That's weird. Sorry, I'm reading all of a sudden. Xenomorph is a mineral that did not develop its otherwise typical external crystal form because of late crystallization. I don't know how that applies to the alien. And then you just get the alien. This is just kind of like looking at... and then there's a Dutch metal there's a Dutch death metal band.
Called Xenomorph?
Yeah.
That's cool. There is a point, which is something I always like, is when a flying monster grabs another monster and throws them. But in this one, it kind of looks cheesy because Mothra immediately grabs Godzilla and starts like sliding him through the city. And there's like a jump cut to where Godzilla's on his side on the ground sliding through the city.
If we're gonna deal with the fight, let's okay. So first, when I go, oh Mothra, I go, well, how is Mothra gonna kill Godzilla? Okay, so the first thing it does is it flaps. She flaps really hard, which is her main thing is flapping really hard.
Yeah,
and so it's like she blinds him with the dust, but then she drags him, and it's kind of akin to like in an old Western when they punch a guy and they drag him across the bar.
Uh-huh.
It's like that, only they're dragging him across like bridges and streets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. And I also like, he then rips her leg off.
Yeah.
And then sends her into a building.
Which is also rare. You never really see monsters ripping limbs off.
Yeah, but it's one of the, that might be interesting to kind of sit and like rank the most violent things that monsters do to each other.
Yeah, there's something later.
Yeah, there's one coming up.
Yeah.
There and
with Mechagodzilla?
Well, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about yet, but I was just thinking about there's a limb ripping coming up in another episode. The next episode actually. her comeback, Mothra's comeback after that is glitter.
Yeah. I put dandruff attack.
I'm just gonna make you just too fabulous. And they're like, he's hitting him with glitter. And so then like, oh, we better explain this to people.
Yeah.
Cause I'm curious. I'm curious if the scales were in any of the earlier Mothra movies, but Yeah, it's like, oh no, she's doing the scales. That's her last resort because she's not going to be able to fly anymore. She knows she's going to die. So then she becomes this big martyr.
And that attack really doesn't do anything anyway.
Well, what it does, I guess the glitter's super flammable because when the glitter happens and he tries to use his atomic breath, it creates a huge explosion.
Yeah. They really use the fire breath a lot in this one. I think it's the first thing Godzilla does.
Yeah.
Like, Godzilla comes out of the ocean and is immediately firing.
Yeah.
I like the way that the fire breath works in this one, where it sparks off the back first. It does, like, these kind of, like a backfiring sound, like a coo-coo.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's charging.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, I always liked how his back is the indicator that fire is coming.
Yeah.
That's always so great. And that's been going on forever. That's been like the, oh, you know, it's like it's that almost like in pro wrestling where it's like going, oh shit, now you're in trouble now, dude, because he just did his thing.
Yeah.
But man, Godzilla does get his ass kicked in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, he has a comeback. He has a really good comeback coming up, but he at this beginning part, he's getting a beatdown laid on him. Meanwhile, the larvae are hatching.
Uh-huh.
And they get a bonus, a 2-in-1 egg, which the fairies are are very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one you see a tear going down one of their eyes as this is happening, that it made me think that... No, hang on. There's this thing that's almost... Are they there? Are they where the egg is?
I think so, yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like they're somewhere else just communicating telepathically, and sometimes they're there. But they sit there, and then they're emotional. And in my head, I was like going, oh, because they're the larva's food. Like, that's their ultimate sacrifice.
Like in Rodan?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, oh, they're crying because this is it. There's two larvae. When it was just one, at least one of us would probably make it, but there's two that have to be fed now.
I don't think that's how it works.
No, I know it's not. But when they were crying that moment, it felt like they were kind of like, I'm like, oh, I know what my duty is now.
It would be funny if they just both walked into the mouths like the... like the dragonflies and Rodan.
And then the larvae swim like dolphins to go help them.
I like Mothra a lot. I've never really liked the larva version of Mothra.
Yeah.
There's really... I like the effect that they use where they shoot like the silk.
Yeah, the silly string attack.
And then you always kind of giggle at that.
Yeah.
But there's one point where the larva attacks Godzilla's tail.
Yeah, and he's holding on to it?
Yeah. I don't know, like, tactically, what is he trying to do?
Yeah, I know. It's, like, just annoying him, really.
Yeah. And it looks super funny.
But Mothra catching on fire was pretty cool. In, like, the ultimate sacrifice for the babies.
Uh-huh.
And just really, like, she goes up in flames, like, nuts. Like a Christmas tree.
That kid decides to make a Mothra symbol to summon Mothra.
Yeah, with the desks.
With the desks.
Yeah.
And I was like, it would have probably been easier to grab paint.
Yeah.
How many desks do you think that was?
Yeah, and he 100? Did it by himself.
Yeah.
No one helped him.
It was at least 100.
Like, his grandfather didn't show up. He was already done by the time his grandfather showed up. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, okay, good. You got it? All right, good.
How long do you think that would take a kid to actually do?
I don't know. It's like...
Like all night?
It takes a while, I figure, because those are awkward desks to try and get through a door.
Uh-huh.
And who knows... Yeah, how many classrooms and hallways he's got to get through to pull them out? I think it took a long time. It would have, at least. If this was in a base...
He could have taken a desk, thrown it through a hardware store window, and grabbed some paint. It would have been a lot quicker.
Okay, first of all, this Godzilla has got the really cool neck ridges.
Uh-huh.
you know, on the sides that kind of give him this really, you really kind of really make his, because like his neck isn't just round. It's got this like these two side ridges, which I like. I like that in the design a lot. And so it was, I was staring at Mechagodzilla because Mechagodzilla has got these black ridges in his neck in between the pieces of metal that are there. And I was trying to figure out if those are supposed to be hoses because they're rounded in like ripples, or if it's just, that's just kind of essentially like some type of rubber thing that gives him the mobility. Now, obviously, it's rubber in terms of the costume, but I'm just wondering as far as in terms of the mythology of what this machine is.
Yeah, I thought it was cables.
Yeah.
But it also allows for the neck to be mobile.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant by hoses, I guess. Cables. Yeah. Cables is a more
yeah. Accurate. And then it's also, like, probably clearly how the actor sees.
Through that.
Yeah. I'm assuming through that. Oh, yeah,
right. I didn't even think about that. That, yeah, their heads are low on these things.
Yeah.
When they meet up, when Mechagodzilla returns and they have their fight, the first part is just, like, them hugging it out for a while.
Yeah. But then there's this shot where Godzilla's on one side of a building.
Yeah.
And Mechagodzilla's on the other side. And Mechagodzilla does that thing he did in the last one where he shoots out all the missiles out of the back. But this time it just goes blind completely around this building and kind of hugs this building and then hits Godzilla from the back. But like Godzilla takes out like a couple of the missiles with his fire breath first. And then Godzilla walks through the building.
Yeah.
This is the second movie in a row where we got just walking through a building.
Not a problem. Without even thinking about it.
Nope. No resistance from the building.
The shortest distance is a straight line.
Yeah. And the walls are like made of like eggshells or something. It's so easy to just walk through.
Oh, you know what was cool in the first fight and the first meeting with him and Mechagodzilla was when Mechagodzilla flipped him.
Yes. That over the shoulder toss.
Yeah. It's like, well, first the guy says something like, "You want to play dirty, do ya?" And then he flips him.
I thought, because Mechagodzilla, like, lowers down to get underneath Godzilla's like kind of armpit. I thought the fins on Mechagodzilla were gonna like saw through his arm or something, but he just did a kind of a cool shoulder toss like over his shoulder. But
yeah, I was thinking, I guess Mechagodzilla has to be that. I mean, feasibly has to be in that shape where like even his back fins have that really big one in the middle. Because it's the bones.
The bones, yeah.
And they just gotta, like, put the metal around the bones.
And that's why Mechagodzilla has toenails.
Oh, okay.
Which always cracks me up, because there's, like, a lot of shot of Mechagodzilla's feet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was like, it's really weird that a robot has toenails.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're gonna have the...
Mechagodzilla does look cool with one eye blown out.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was awesome. Because it, as stupid as it sounds, it added, like, realism to it.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, I think it's always a good... Like, it is, in a way, shocking when, like, stuff get an arm ripped off. Uh-huh. Or, like, this. But I think having damage that carries over is great.
Yeah. And that happened from movie to movie. Because in this one, Godzilla had that chest wound that he ended with in the last one.
Also, they changed it because, like, instead of the Kelvin beam thing, it's now hypermasers that are coming out of his chest.
Oh yeah, the Absolute Zero machines now. A hypermaser. Which is this like the third movie they've used those masers? Because they used it in the last that one.
Yeah, but masers is something that's going to be around. I mean, they used them in King Kong versus. It's like masers is going to be something that's going to be forever, I think. And so the drill hand, awesome.
Yeah, that's what and I was talking about.
The extra squishy noise of when he's digging into him.
Yeah, I as soon as the drill hand came out and he started like just burying it into Godzilla's chest.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, just keep using this. This is working.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty brutal. Like, that's something you don't see a lot of. Like, didn't show blood or anything, but you could tell that Mechagodzilla was getting it pretty deep, and then they just kind of laid in on that wound with the masers. There was this one part where Godzilla was on the ground, and Mechagodzilla was going to jump on top, and Godzilla, like, shot fire breath and knocked Mechagodzilla back into a building while he was in midair. Right. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, and then, I mean, do we want to talk? Now the big finish. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it gets really heavy-handed in the drama. And it kind of, in a way, I don't know. Do you remember how Pacific Rim or Starship Troopers, they have this quality to them where it feels like you're watching a propaganda movie?
Yeah.
For a fictitious war?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what this feels like. The guy, when he's like, Mega, first of all, he calls him Mecha G as like an endearing thing.
Uh-huh.
So much in this version. And he says this whole like, Mega G, I'm sorry. When he starts feeling bad about him.
Uh-huh.
And Mecha G has that like red tear streak thing that happens.
Yeah. And that's when he fully takes over. The bones fully take over the...
Right. He fully possesses.
Yeah.
And the guy is stuck because he can't get the hatch open.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, go ahead, do it anyways. And the guy's going to martyr himself. And he's like, I'm ready to die. And the other ones, you know, whatever, like, not on my watch kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the rescue.
Yeah.
Is so ridiculous.
The hatch is open. He's hanging.
She shoots the hatch open.
He's hanging on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And of a flying Mechagodzilla. Because
Mechagodzilla's getting spinned around and then making the opening on the bottom all of a sudden.
So the dude lets go without a parachute. And then she... Wait, who is it?
The dude. Guy who catches the fly.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah. He ejects from his plane and catches the dude in midair.
Yes.
And then pulls the chute.
Yes.
But now that I think about it, is that because, like, he has such good hand-eye coordination?
Yeah, because he's such of a fly? Good catcher. Yeah, that's how he's that good.
Wow.
He's such a good catch. And then again, Mecha G!
And Mechagodzilla says goodbye to him on the monitor.
Yeah.
I do like the way this, like, that's ridiculous. That whole rescue thing's ridiculous. But I do like the way they dispatch of Godzilla in this one, where the larvae cover Godzilla in the silk.
Right.
So Godzilla's immobile. And then Mechagodzilla uses the super maser as a clamp on Godzilla's chest. And he's like kind of hugging Godzilla, and then shoots these cables around Godzilla, so Godzilla's completely immobile, and in Mechagodzilla's clutches. And then the plan is for Mechagodzilla to fly to the Japan Trench and use its weight to sink to the bottom.
Yeah,
I think that's a cool plan, and I think I like that. I like that it would only work with the Mothra larva and Mechagodzilla working in unison.
Okay.
Because I don't think Godzilla... I think Godzilla wouldn't be able to tackle Mechagodzilla. Like, Mechagodzilla can just grapple him.
Right.
Because we've seen that already.
Right.
So it would be like... I like
they that. They have to mobilize him so that...
Yeah. So I like that. I like that they're able to work together. Because at the beginning of the movie, they said that the Mothra twins say that Godzilla's bones have to re...
Had to be... Yeah. But
go back to the ocean...
Yeah.
Otherwise, they were going to declare war on humans.
It is surprising that action of the larvae spitting their cocoon stuff actually ends up wrapping around Godzilla.
Yeah.
When you see it in action.
It's kind of just falling straight down out of the sky.
You think there should be just like a pile coming up all would just actually technically bury him.
Yeah.
Into like a big giant yellow, big giant white pile of silly string.
Uh-huh.
That because they don't even move around him or try and like wrap him with it, but he ends up being wrapped anyways.
The effects work better in the older ones, where it's not just falling from the sky, where you actually see it.
Oh, also, they talk to each other a lot. The larvae talk to each other. They talk to Mothra a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discussion between the Mothras.
I enjoyed that, where they're just sitting there just squeaking at each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay, here's the plan.
Like, I would like to see some subtitles thrown in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what'd you think of this one?
This one was all right. I think I like between those two. Between this one and the last.
Or just in general, either way.
It was good. It was good. I definitely feel like I'm on a hunt to find my favorite, and I haven't found it yet.
Uh-huh.
I feel like there's going to be one that I go like, ah, oh, this is my favorite. Like, maybe. Nothing has... I haven't loved anything like I've loved Rodan so far.
Yeah, I think Rodan's up there. I still really like Monster Zero.
Of the old ones, of course. Of the old ones, of course, because Kong Skull Island, man, was phenomenal.
Or not.
Oh, so the stinger at the end.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So they have this little, it shows that there's like some lab somewhere that has Godzilla DNA that was gathered in 1999.
That's really weird.
It specifically says it was, this is 1999 DNA.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
You know what I'm hoping it is?
What's that?
That there's going to be like a Godzilla, an old Godzilla design.
Uh-huh.
Like to go back to like an old suit. Because, like, if there's, like, a 1999 suit versus these are, what, like, 2004 or something like that?
Yeah. I think, okay, so I think Godzilla 2000 was this Godzilla design. But the next movie in the series, there is a different Godzilla suit, if I remember correctly.
I mean, that would be kind of cool. But you know, basically, but, you know, all these things do is be, like, the story's not over, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a Godzilla movie that I'm excited to see. That came after this that I'm really itching to get to soon.
Okay.
So we'll have to talk about it. Because it's a different design altogether. Okay. It's more of like a classic kind of upright like thick Godzilla as opposed to this kind of sleek Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's Godzilla. It's called Godzilla GMK All out monster attack, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one.
That's a lot of people love that one because all the monsters are in it.
Yeah, and it's brutal. Yeah,
that is an older Godzilla, isn't it? That is an older looking design.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And just because I have one of the toys I have is of that.
Where it has the white eyes?
Yeah, it has white eyes and it has a button on it where you can push on it and it'll give you the screen honk on it. That's basically it on this one for me.
All right. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be doing Godzilla versus the Sea Monster, which I'm excited to talk about in 2 weeks. And if you guys want to reach us, go to kaijupod.com or follow us at kaijupod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And I think that's it. Until next time, I'm going to go sink to the bottom of the Japan trench.
Going to go rest these bones.
Oh, that's way better. All right.